Hey guys, Pat Dovely here with episode one of the PDF podcast. This is something I've been talking about doing for a while, but I've been putting it on the long finger. And I'm always talking about taking action and getting things done, so I figured no time like the present. Don't have any fancy intro music or anything like that yet, but I've got a great guest today, my buddy John Lithock. He's a guy I've looked up to in the fitness industry for the last couple of years. We're out in Namibia at the minute, kind of bouncing ideas around. Group of fitness pros out here. It's been brilliant thus far, so really learning a lot, and it's great to be around like-minded people. So I'm gonna let John give you a little introduction about his background and stuff like that, and then we're gonna do some Q&A based off of questions from the Facebook page. John.
Yeah, cheers, Pat. I'll give you the short story where I come from. Basically, seven, eight years ago, I got qualified, did the commercial gym thing, got sick of the lack of focus on results. It was all about memberships and the things you see in every gym. And then I went through 3 years. I worked at the gym for 6 months, then did 3 years with my own studio, which was good because I had total reign with my business partner about how we did things. And we started realizing that, you know, fitness really is personal, and there's so many different facets to it. And that just started me off on a journey of constantly learning, constantly observing people and seeing that there isn't one best way of doing things. We're going to talk about various things today, I think, different ways of eating, different ways of sleeping, dealing with different lifestyles. And now I'm actually back in Guernsey, my home island. I've had a facility there for 3.5 years now, doing the fitness camps, the personal training. And again, we've taken those services to a whole new level with things like hormone testing, ultrasound, body fat testing, all these kind of things. Really sort of knuckling down to individuals. And, you know, our thing is not just looking at 12-week transformations. Like, I don't want to see you looking great in 12 weeks, but in 3 years, you're back to where you were. So hopefully we're going to deal with some of that stuff today, like the key things that people fall down on. So that's very much my approach, is not just how can we push you and push you and push you. It's what breaks do we need to take off your lifestyle first. So we'll cover that today.
So I think myself and John are very much along the same wavelength when it comes to training and transformations and kind of pushing forward with life. It's an holistic approach. It's taking nutrition into account, your training, your mindset, and finding something you enjoy doing, because there's no point forcing yourself to go to a commercial gym if it's not something that gets you results and it's not something you enjoy. So, like we said, we've got questions from the Facebook page. We're going to go through kind of commonly asked things that people struggle with. I know nutrition generally brings up a lot of questions, so we're going to go into that, a little bit on mindset and training. So one of the first things we had was people asking about healthy eating on the go. So I think myself and John both kind of promote eating a lot of healthy fats, proteins, lots of veggies, a certain amount of carbohydrate depending on how much you're training, and it's not always easy on the go to get those kind of foods. So John, what's your kind of thoughts on eating when you're on the go?
Well, this is something that I've had to really figure out myself, because, you know, like you, I do a lot of traveling. You end up on, you know, if you're on a plane for 11 hours, you basically have very limited choice in terms of what's actually on the plane. At the end of the day, I do run a business. I think some people think that because we're personal trainers, we can just eat whenever we like and we train 9 hours a day, and it really doesn't work like that. We're still busy and kind of on the go. So what I found is that there's kind of two angles to this. The first one is, what sort of commitment do you have and what sort of time do you have? If you have time to prepare food, then that's going to be your first option. You know, prepare some healthy food, things like chicken breast. You know, you can grill them, eat them cold. You can make yourself a salad, stick stuff in Tupperware. Things like, you know, boiled eggs as well, obviously raw veg. Not enough people eat raw veg anyway, so it's a good way of getting more nutrients in. But then, you know, some people will just say, look, I do not have the time, and that's a separate issue. You know, we've got to look at time management and things like that, but let's assume you really don't have the time. That's where we'll look at saying, well, maybe a different nutrition plan is what's needed. You know, let's not try and force 3 meals a day on you. If you say, I don't have time for breakfast because of the kids, or I'm driving to work and I've got, you know, stuff to do at lunch, I'm on the go, I'm buzzing around, I'm driving on the train, then that's where I say to people, what about a more, some people call it the warrior diet, we call it our busy bee plan, because then people relate to it better. And with this kind of eating plan, what we're looking at doing is saying, well, let's act like an old hunter-gatherer would, or a warrior, where the food eaten during the day is just going to be stuff that you would, you know, like raw vegetables or things that you'd find on a tree. You know, you'd pick some berries, maybe some light proteins as well. So if you can have some boiled egg whites, or even a rice protein shake, you know, that's something you can add. So it's just, we're just looking for very easy stuff and nibbling throughout the day. And without going too much off track, that's actually a good way of doing things, because it enables your body to kind of almost do like 16, 17 hour detox where you're not really eating loads of food, you're not putting pressure on your digestive system, you're just nibbling a few nuts, a few berries, maybe some carrot strips, cucumber, and that stuff's easy to carry around as well. It's not gonna go off or melt or anything like that. So that can be good for fat loss, it can be good for hormones, but in terms of what we're talking about here, in terms of time management, it's just really, really easy to do. You know, you could prepare 3-4 days in advance if you just chop up a load of carrots and cucumber. Obviously, you've got like a vegan rice protein, like Sun Warrior, you can just stick that in a shake and you're good to go. So that's the kind of approach I take. Is I think the first thing is, first of all, decide what nutrition plan you're following and do that. So if you're on 3 meals a day, if that works better for you, then you're going to have to look at food preparation. You know, what can you effectively grill, or what can you eat raw and stick that in some Tupperware, or like I said, go for that warrior diet. So that's generally my approach on that one.
So it's kind of the idea that you're finding something that fits your lifestyle. You're not getting tied into something. It's more focused really on quality of foods as opposed to quantities and meal timings. People get too caught up in the small things. I think you need to think about just getting back to basics with what you are eating and you know, like John says, making it accessible for your lifestyle, whatever that might be. Something similar people were asking was kind of when you're eating out in restaurants, is there an approach that you'd take or something you'd advise?
Yeah, I think, to be honest... Some people have made it into a problem. It's like going to a restaurant means it's hard to eat. Like most restaurants, unless you're maybe in like a fast food restaurant like McDonald's or something like that, if you go into a restaurant and say, I'd like a chicken salad or maybe a steak salad, pretty much every restaurant is going to do that. So what we're looking for is, you want a protein source, that might be chicken, it might be fish, it might be meat, it might be turkey, you know, find something that's on the menu, eggs, protein source, vegetable sauce. So obviously it's going to be generally in a restaurant. You know, if you're a restaurant that doesn't do salad, then you're in the wrong place. And then you want to get a fat sauce in. So I say generally for lunchtime, if you can get maybe olive oil, every restaurant's going to have olive oil, or even avocado, something like that, then you're going to have protein, veg, fats. That's pretty much what you want to be looking for. And again, without going too much off topic, if you've just done a training session, for instance, then you could, instead of the fats, have some carbohydrates and maybe get some rice in. So yeah, it's pretty easy. You know, don't be afraid to ask restaurants that this is what I'd like, and even if it costs you £2-3 extra, then you know, so what, you're staying healthy.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something people get caught up in, and it like John says, it's just a case of getting your protein source, double up on your veg or your salad, and leave off the potatoes. You know, get some healthy fats from your olive oil, your avocado, and that's you pretty much sorted. You know, your water or green tea with that, balsamic vinegar for dressing, and you're good to go. So that's eating on the go, fairly straightforward. People were asking about sugar cravings, so this is obviously a big one. I suppose ideas for dealing with sugar cravings, and what approach would you take, what tips would you give?
Yeah, this is really interesting, because what I found generally with most people is, you know, they get to a point, right, I know I shouldn't eat so much sugar, and they're forcing themselves to not eat it, and it just doesn't work. And what people don't realise is that often sugar craving, or most of the time, sugar cravings come from stress patterns. Because when we eat, particularly when we eat starchy carbs, when we eat those carbohydrates, it actually increases serotonin. And we know that serotonin slows the brain down. You know, it's what we want when we're trying to go to sleep. It slows the brain down and helps us relax. So this is often why people crave sugar. It's not so much that they're craving the sugar. They're craving the results that it brings from a kind of hormonal cascade. So trying to just force yourself not to eat sugar, it's only going to last so long. If you're not dealing with stress patterns, then you're just fighting against yourself. And this is why for a lot of people dieting is such a battle. You're fighting against yourself, and there's only so long you can fight hormones for, because they rule everything. You know, their thing is about survival, so they will make you do stuff. And yeah, you can fight them for a little bit, but generally the hormones will win at some point. So I think with sugar cravings, yeah, we've got to look at, first of all, the stress patterns. The other thing is looking at how are we actually feeding ourselves. Like when we say, I'm hungry, we often go, right, I want sugar, so we'll have bread or something like that. Often the body's actually hungry for micronutrients, so the things we get, like minerals, minerals and vitamins and minerals. So actually what we need to look at is, how do we satisfy that hunger? We've got into this routine of, I need to, when I'm hungry, it's about calories. So generally we go for the sugary stuff. But the prime example of this is, I'm sure you've had Chinese before, where you eat a massive Chinese meal. You're like, oh my God, I've eaten like 2,500 calories. Yeah. And then an hour later, you're hungry again. Like from a calorie point of view, from a sugar point of view,
you're not deriving the value, are you?
No, exactly. You're just eating. You're just filling yourself up with crap. And actually, to reduce those cravings, those further food cravings, the body's going to keep screaming, saying, "Look, dude, I still need these vitamins and minerals." But unfortunately, the body can't put a flag up saying, "I need vitamin B. I need vitamin C." It will just encourage you to eat more. So, again, if you focus your diet on eating more vitamins and minerals, obviously in raw form, steamed veg, greens drinks are another good one. Going back to what we were talking about, food on the go, you know, you can smash a greens drink back. It takes, 5-10 seconds, you put it in, mix it with water and drink it. So, yeah, generally I think it's looking at stress, and it's also looking at what you're really hungry for. It's not just about eat whatever you can find, because it just doesn't work. You know, if it did work, then people wouldn't be getting these mid-morning cravings. You know, don't tell me if you eat 800 calories for breakfast with your cereal, you're going to be hungry in 2-3 hours, I mean, especially if you've been sat in your car and sat at your desk. So it's not a hunger for calories. It's not a hunger for carbohydrates and sugar. It's a hunger for vitamins and minerals.
So the big thing there is, when you're cutting out certain foods from your diet, you need to be kind of aware that your body's still looking for goodness. It's still looking for fuel. So you need to be getting as many sources in as you can from the likes of different types of vegetables, your healthy fats, your proteins, like we were talking about. Food rotation is important, because you want to be getting all, giving your body its best chance of getting all these things in. So it always comes back to food quality, I think. Mm. Okay, so changing the topic a little bit, we were talking about sleep, stress, and kind of the effect that has on the body. I think everybody knows that training and nutrition is important, but sometimes people understate how important, good quality sleep is. So what effect does, bad sleep patterns have on a person?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm going to state the obvious first of all. If you're not getting enough sleep, then you're just going to be knackered. You're not going to exercise properly. You're not going to be productive at work. And that leads to all sorts of things, because if you're not productive at work, that's when you start doing overtime to catch up. So you're working later. You're more hyped up when you go home in the evening, so you go to bed later, and it's just this vicious circle. I mean, that's kind of the obvious stuff. Other things are cortisol patterns. Without getting too scientific, really what should happen is early in the morning, so we're talking 4 or 5 o'clock, cortisol, which is a... Actually, let me backtrack first of all. Cortisol is a stress hormone. When we're put under stress, cortisol rises. It increases adrenaline. It gives us the hormonal response that we need to deal with stress. It's that fight or flight thing. So what happens is cortisol should rise sort of early morning. It's part of the waking up process. It gets us going. And then that will rise normally to sort of lunchtime, mid-afternoon. And then what we want is that cortisol starts going back down. So by the time we go to bed, cortisol levels are low, stress levels are low, we're relaxed, and we fall asleep again. What happens is, when we get stressed, this whole... If you can imagine it as a kind of a bell curve, or an N-shaped graph, what happens is the whole graph gets shifted to the right. So cortisol only starts rising sort of 9, 10 o'clock, which is why a lot of people can't drag themselves out of bed. They haven't got that. It's like the spark's not there, first of all. They need that coffee at work to get them going. So that cortisol does start rising. You know, it hits its peak around 3, 4 o'clock. You know, you're doing your work. But then it kind of stays high for too long. So you're hyped up in the evening. A lot of people get this, they call it their second wind. So when they should be going to bed, they're almost ready to work. They're suddenly getting kind of brain waves, and they want to sit down at the laptop and do their emails. So yeah, this whole graph gets shifted along, and that's where you start, I'll go to bed at 2 in the morning, dragging yourself out of bed. So again, it comes down to stress. Pretty much everything we're going to talk about here, it all comes back to some kind of stress, and the stress messes up our hormonal patterns. I think first of all, we need to look at stress, and we need to look at how can we get that graph back in place. And a lot of that comes down to what you're doing for that hour before bed. You know, whether it's some people do full-on meditation or yoga. You know, if you're not into that kind of stuff, I mean, I fully recommend it. I mean, I train hard. I'm a very kind of intense guy, but I've learned the value of that sort of stuff. If you can't get your mind around doing meditation and things at first, just look at how you can chill out a bit. You know, rather than watching thriller movies and getting excited about stuff and still thinking about work, just take an hour to read some fiction and let your conscious mind switch off. I think that's really the key to better sleep patterns. I mean, do you want me to talk about supplements and things like that?
Some practical recommendations for someone who's kind of struggling with all that. So you're going to sort out your nutrition, which I think is going to help, taking out the stimulants. And then a few things we could add in, I suppose, that will help.
Yeah, I mean, one big thing we found in our facility, this is just... there's some supplements people say, yeah, it worked for me. Some people say didn't work for me. There's one supplement that I've never heard someone say it didn't help, and that's magnesium. Basically, magnesium is effectively nature's relaxant, and it works hand in hand with calcium. You know, we all know about calcium because the dairy industry has done very well at marketing. You've got to be having calcium, calcium. Calcium and magnesium work hand in hand in that calcium helps muscles contract, magnesium helps muscles relax. But obviously, if we're loading loads of calcium, we're getting that muscle contraction and we're not getting the relaxation and there's that imbalance, then what it leads to is that constant feeling of, I mean, it becomes the norm for some people. They won't realise it, but they're just constantly in a state of tension. So we get people to take some magnesium. Generally, if you take two capsules before bed, it just helps that sort of muscular relaxation. There's also certain amino acids that can improve serotonin. That's a little bit more advanced. But as a practical, easy thing to do, I think it works out about 2-3 grams of magnesium about an hour before bed. That's a great place to start.
Tulsi tea is another one that people find good.
Yeah, that's going back to cortisol, actually. Tulsi is really good. It's been shown to inhibit the effects of cortisol on the body. So you might still be producing it if you're stressing yourself out, but it won't have the same effect.
Same negative effects, okay. Just on a side note, something you touched on there was the whole dairy issue. You know, it's been promoted as such a health food, and you know, you'd be wrong to not give it to your kids and stuff like that. What's your thoughts on dairy?
From a jokey point of view, it's that thing of, you know, before someone decided to start sucking on a cow's nipple, you know, the human race did very well. I think there's some stats about osteoporosis and how Norway's got the highest rate of dairy consumption. It's also got the highest rate of osteoporosis. So you've got to start questioning that. And I think there's, unfortunately at the moment, the research isn't really conclusive. There's things about how, you know, dairy makes your blood more acidic, and then as a result the body will draw calcium out of the bones to help alkalize it, things like that. But yeah, from a more basic point of view, you know, milk's a very sugary substance. It has a massive insulin spike effect on the body. So again, if you're getting that insulin spike, you're going to get that energy, kind of almost like an energy boost, and then your blood sugar drops and you end up on what I call the blood sugar roller coaster during the day. So you have your cereal and milk, you get that blood sugar high, then a low, and that brings us back to the sugar cravings, actually. But dairy, I think I don't drink dairy. I lift a lot of heavy weights and I don't have osteoporosis, I don't have bone problems.
I think the main argument we come up against is people will ask about the calcium issue then. So where are they getting their calcium if they're not taking dairy, and do they need as much calcium as we're led to believe we do?
I mean, personally, I can't say I know exactly what the recommendations are for calcium, but vegetables, you know, the minerals in vegetables, a lot of them have very, very high content. You can draw what you need from the vegetables. I must admit, I went through a phase of nobody should eat dairy, but I think it's kind of a personal thing. But what you've got to be wary of is that if you can cause that sort of lactose intolerance as well. If you're plying kids with lactose over and over and over again, it's very easy to develop that sort of lactose intolerance when you get older. I think there's research now that 90% of people are lactose intolerant in some way.
Yeah.
And that might be, like, for me personally, if I drink a pint of milk, you know, I get a bit of a sniffle as if I'm getting a cold, and then an hour later it's passed. You know, it's not the end of the world, but it shows that my body is having some kind of inflammatory reaction. And obviously some people get sort of full-blown...
You see skin conditions, won't you? Yeah. Things like acne and eczema and things like that. You can often cut out the dairy and you'll see a big difference. So again, we're saying, you know, if you're going to cut out dairy, you can still get a lot of good nutrients from your nutrients and minerals, vitamins, from your salads and stuff like that. Sometimes people think, you know, they talk about eating a salad jokingly and as if you're getting nothing, but there's a massive amount of value to be gotten from a range of vegetables and really mixing up your foods, rotating your foods, being adventurous with it, and sticking with whole foods and natural foods. Let me see one more to finish. We got anything there? We were talking about sugar cravings earlier, and kind of more specific to that, you get women that will not give up chocolate, not to be sexist, but you know, women have cravings for chocolate. What's this about? What's going on here?
Yeah, I found this really interesting when I actually learned about this. It's become a bit of a joke. It's like, you know, women like to, when the guys aren't around, they get together and eat chocolate and drink wine and stuff. And
it's true, surely.
It's true. It does happen. But from a scientific point of view, what's actually been found is that again, the body's smart. You know, the human body doesn't want a Mars bar. You know, it's pretty obvious as humans are evolving. You know, we did very well without having Mars bars and double deckers and everything else. But what's happening is that actually it's the body's craving the cocoa in the chocolate, because cocoa is actually really, really high in magnesium. And it goes back to what I said earlier about a lot of people are deficient in magnesium. So the body's clever. It remembers when the last time you got magnesium, it remembers the source, and it will give you cravings for that particular source. And again, going back to magnesium, we found if we actually get women to supplement with magnesium, with girls that really struggle, we get them to supplement twice a day, so a couple of grams in the morning, a couple of grams in the evening, and within days, those cravings can go away. So the body's like, cool, I've got the magnesium I need now, so we don't need to be eating the chocolate. So even if you want to wean yourself off, you know, you can get a lot of raw chocolate these days, which is sort of 80-85% cocoa. I make my own chocolate bars, you know, mix some cocoa with coconut oil, maybe stick a bit of protein in, melt it all, and then stick it in the freezer. So you're getting that sort of chocolate fix, but it's not you're not eating your Caramax and everything else. So yeah, you know, the ladies who struggle to lose weight because they can't let go of the chocolate. Actually, it's another really important point, and a lot of ladies nod when I say this. If you have a look at what happens at the time of the month, you know, a lot of ladies will say, "Oh, that's when I just, oh, gotta have my chocolate. I need chocolate. I cannot live through my period without eating chocolate." But again, it's because a lot of magnesium, there's an increased release of magnesium during the period because of the processes that go on. So again, the body's in an even more depleted state, and that's why you want more chocolate. So literally, it can be something simple as popping a couple of magnesium capsules morning and evening, and there goes your chocolate craving. So good for fat loss on another note.
I think we've covered quite a bit of stuff there. To give you some take-home points or some things to kind of think about, because sometimes you can get a lot of information and kind of get overwhelmed. So just a couple of things that maybe you could look at implementing that are going to help you out with some of those things. Magnesium seemed to be a big one, so we're saying that's going to help you on a lot of different areas. Just a magnesium supplement, you're going to get that in the health shop fairly handy. Just take it as recommended. That's going to help again with sleep, cravings, things like that. So most of us are magnesium deficient. That's not going to do any harm. We talked about eating out or eating on the go. Very straightforward. Just sticking with real food. Preparation is a big part of that. So, I mean, you take 20 minutes the night before to chop up some vegetables, bring them with you, nuts and seeds in the car, kind of being prepared. Throw a tub of protein powder maybe in the car that you have it on the go or at the office. Eating out, you got your protein source, your healthy fats and veggies. I suppose one more, stay motivated, John. What's the kind of thoughts?
Yeah, I think we were talking about this before, and it's just something I wanted to cover really before. You know, a lot of this stuff, what I found is that as a trainer, you think, right, I'm going to do this qualification, I'm going to learn this perfect training program. Then you realise that the training doesn't work if people aren't eating right. And then you start going, well, why can person A follow the diet, person B can't? A lot of it comes to motivation. So I just wanted to make the point that goal setting, I mean, we're coming up to January now, people are going to be doing the same stuff. Goal setting, as we know it, is pretty much broken, and anybody can tell you that. You know, you do the 2-week January thing, you join the gym, it doesn't work. And what's happening is, I work with kind of Joe Public, as I call him, and also athletes, and what we're finding is that with an athlete, they know their point. When we talk about going from A to B, athletes know their point B. It's like, I want to be world champion, I want to win this race, whatever. But they struggle to understand their point A as to what they really need from their body, how their body's working. Joe Public is different. They know their A game. I'm sure all your listeners will know exactly how they're feeling right now. Maybe they're sick, they're tired, they feel fat, they're unhappy, whatever it might be. And they go, right, I've got to set some goals. And the problem we have now is that we try to get motivated by watching YouTube University and looking at what people are doing on Facebook, reading magazines. And rather than setting a B goal that we know we can achieve, we're going, well, what's the Z goal? I want to be a fitness model. You're looking at this superhero doing crazy things on YouTube. And the brain can't attach to that. The brain's just like, look, it's too far away. I can't handle it. And you end up kind of withdrawing yourself. So what I'd say to you guys listening is, by all means, have that Z goal. You know, if you want to maybe do a fitness modeling thing, or you want to be a size 8 with 10% body fat, whatever it might be. But give your brain a break and just say, look, what's the B goal? And the B goal might be, can I get to the gym 4 times this week? You know, at this point, I don't even care what you do in the gym. Just, can you get in there? Can you go for a run 4 times a week? Whatever. Start trusting yourself. It's like, yeah, I've done those 4 sessions. I know I can do this now. Then what's goal C? So it's going to be, right, maybe I'll speak to Pat and get a a structured program. So now I know what I'm doing in those four sessions. Can I do that? Yeah, I can do that. Then what's goal D? And it might be we're going to add an interval session or crank up the intensity. And it's just a case of breaking down the goals a little bit more. Because I think we've gone through this, we're in this phase of you can do whatever you want and you can be whatever you want to be, which is true, but we're not using the right language. We're not kind of helping ourselves with these goals. We're just giving these crazy goals and then going after 3 weeks, because we're not a fitness model, we're like, it doesn't work, I can't do this, I'm useless.
Set you up and for failure before you start, doesn't it?
So that's what I say about staying motivated, is just make it a little bit easier on yourself. You know, by all means, you've got to be moving forward. There's got to be a plan, but don't kind of overrate yourself, if that's the right phrase. You know, give yourself some easy steps. And
I think most people, come January, most people get caught up in thinking they've got to achieve everything in January and they set themselves up for failure, because when you haven't got where you want to be in 3-4 weeks, you maybe feel like a failure. Whereas if you can be more progressive with it, you don't need to do as much, but kind of consistency is key, I think, and natural progression, little changes every week over the period of time are going to be massive.
Yeah, goal setting's a, this whole fitness thing, it's a management process. You know, we've got to, my friend Brian Grasso always says, have a vision, but detach yourself from the outcome. In other words, you know, I know what I want from my life. I know the direction I'm going in, but accept that life's not a straight line. You know, you're going to get injured. Hopefully not, but you know, you're going to get injured, you're going to have niggles, your dog's going to die, you're going to have all these problems, and it will maybe stop you from hitting exact goals at exact times. But you will find that when you do this stuff more and more, if you've got that outcome, you've got that vision, and you just keep moving forward and managing yourself along the way. So we talked about stress. Maybe there's times you can't follow your 3 meals a day diet. Fine, I'm going to change it and do the warrior diet. And you keep zigzagging. That's how you stay motivated, because you're not just berating yourself all the time for the stuff you can't do.
Brilliant. So hopefully, guys, that's kind of cleared up some of the questions you had. John, if people want to find out more about what you do and stuff like that, where can they go?
Our main website is stormforcefitness.com. That's where our boot camps and personal training. I'm guessing most of you guys are not in Guernsey. So my personal website is johnletocq.com.
T-O-C-Q.
Yeah, J-O-N-L-E-T-O-C-Q.
Cool. Right, guys, so that's episode one. I'd love to hear your feedback. You can drop me an email, info@patdivillyfitness.com. Going to get some more episodes recorded in the coming weeks. So any questions or anything like that, any suggestions, be more than open to them. So thanks for listening. Hope you've gotten something from today's call, and I'll speak to you all soon.